It's Natasha Renault with you on BFBS, The Forces Station. A new documentary has been released called The Commandant's Shadow. It follows the son and grandson of Rudolf Höss, who was the camp commandant of Auschwitz, and the terrible legacy he has left. It also tells the story of Auschwitz survivor Anita Lasker-Valfitch and her daughter, looking at the impact these hereditary burdens have left on the families as they come face to face for the first time. Joining me is documentary maker Daniela Volker. This must have been an extremely difficult experience for both of the families.
Yes, I think it was a sort of very interesting process for Hans-Jürgen Höss, because when I met him, he was someone who had spent his entire life really avoiding dealing with who his father was and his sort of family legacy of mass murder. So he hadn't really ever thought much about it. He hadn't read his father's autobiography written before he was executed, while he was awaiting trial in Poland, actually. So it was, in a way, documentary gold, because I could follow the story from the beginning. You know, when I met him, he knew very little. I mean, he knew his father had been commandant of Auschwitz, but not much more. And he thought he was executed because he was the boss, but he wasn't really involved in any detail. And then I gave him his father's autobiography to read. So he found out the gruesome detail of what he had imagined, built and put into place in terms of industrial kind of mass murder. And then I took him back to the place where he'd grown up. And for the first time, he went beyond the garden wall into the death camp. So that was quite a process. He was the person who kind of, in a way, traveled the furthest in terms of going on this journey. His son, Kai, the grandson of the commandant, he is a pastor in a Bible church in southern Germany, which is frequented by a lot of expats, many of them American service personnel. So he had his own take on it. And he sort of genuinely thinks a lot about the hereditary burden that one generation's crimes place on their descendants. So that was really interesting. And on the survivors' sort of side, what was fascinating was to really follow the daughter of Auschwitz survivor Anita Lasker-Valfitch, who decided in her 60s she would pack up her life in England, where she'd grown up and lived, and moved to Germany because, and I quote her here, "my bones belong there." So, you know, it was, everyone was on different journeys, which all come together in Anita Lasker-Valfitch's sitting room in London when she meets the son of the commandant. And she was his first Auschwitz survivor, in fact, his first Jewish survivor he'd met. So, you know, it was a really fascinating journey to follow. And they started off as four individual stories, which come together at the end.
So what made you want to tell this story?
Well, I was approached initially by a friend who was representing Maya Lasker-Valfitch, who had a book which had just been published in Germany as an e-book, or was about to be published as a book. And she was interested in sharing her experiences of transgenerational trauma as the daughter of a Holocaust survivor. So I thought it was a very interesting element for a film, but not an entire feature documentary in itself. And I started researching and just thinking, you know, what else could I look at? What could I include? And I came across Rudolf Höss's autobiography, which is extraordinary because I think he was unique in that he was prime witness and perpetrator at the same time. He wrote it all down without kind of whitewashing anything, really. I mean, if anything, he thought he killed 1 million more people than he actually killed. So that was fascinating. And then I found he, too, had descendants. And when I met the grandson, who's roughly Maya's generation, they're sort of in their 60s, And what I found very interesting was, or we all did actually, Maya and Kai found it very interesting too, that they had parallel stories and very similar experiences on both the perpetrator and survivor side. So I guess the film evolved in a sort of very organic way by, you know, meeting people, talking to them, and then that would lead to something else. And Kai led me to his father, who had grown up in the commandant's house in Auschwitz and whose story hadn't been told yet before in a documentary. I mean, he'd never been filmed before. So that was, and as I said, he hadn't really engaged with his family legacy at all. So that was a very sort of extraordinary kind of experience, really, to have.
The thing is that the documentary is incredibly informative, but it's also very moving. And, you know, in it, we hear how Hans hasn't really spoken to anyone about his experiences or anything like that. He's kind of just kept it to himself. And, you know, it's just that different perspective of war and war crimes. And there was a particular point in the documentary where Kai asked his father about smells, particularly the smell of burning. And, you know, suggested, has he suppressed those memories? And he was very adamant of, no, that's, we'd never smelt anything. We didn't know what was going on. But what are you hoping the audience are going to take away from the documentary when they watch it?
Well, I think on the one hand, the example you mention about not remembering smoke or smell when it was definitely there, because I researched this in depth and I had our educators at Auschwitz look into it. So Hans-Jürgen's house was 190 yards from gas chamber and crematorium one, where at least 78,000 people were burned, were gassed and burned, and they also burned everyone who was executed. So we're looking at well over 80,000 within a year and a half period. So, you know, it is impossible not to have seen or smelt anything. So it's rather fascinating to me that Hans-Jürgen and his sister simply cannot remember it. And I think one of the really interesting kind of elements of the film is fact versus memory. So I think I'm very interested in children's perspectives when they live through traumatic events. And I think in the immediate post-war, it was made very clear to the Hearst children that they had been on the wrong side of history. And it was almost like a curtain came down and, you know, the blinds came down. No one talked about the past. So I think, you know, the power of suppression is one of the sort of aspects of the film that I find are really touching, because you have an old man who simply cannot remember things which history and the records show really did happen. And I think it will make people kind of in a way look at the Holocaust and events surrounding it from a slightly different angle, because these are very personal stories of a woman who survived against all odds, a boy who was to some extent victim to his father's ambition and ideology. So it just, you know, gives the Holocaust, which is something that, you know, we now think of as kind of merging into ancient history to some extent, because, you know, most people's memories of it are black and white newsreel, you know, documentaries they've seen before. And here you have witnesses, direct witnesses who were there at the time and who will not be around forever. So I think that is its value, that, you know, it's probably our last chance to tell stories from a human first-hand perspective.
Thank you so much, Daniela, for talking to us about the documentary. It's a very interesting and, as I say, moving watch. So thank you.
BFBS, the Forces Station.